Built to last. Successful habits of visionary companies. Authors: Jim Collins and Jerry I. Porras. Why is it a business classic? Built to Last has influenced many executives and entrepreneurs since it was originally published in 1994. It outlines the results of a six-year research project into what makes enduringly great companies. Filled with hundreds of specific examples and organized into a coherent framework that can be applied by managers and entrepreneurs at all levels, Built to Last provides a master blueprint for building organizations that will prosper beyond the 21st century. The best of the best. What is a visionary company? Visionary companies are the best of the best of their industries, admired by their peers and having a long track record of making a significant impact on the world around them. All individual leaders eventually die. Visionary products and services eventually become obsolete. Yet visionary companies prosper over long periods of time. Indeed, all of the visionary companies in our study faced setbacks and made mistakes at some point during their lives, and some are experiencing difficulties right now. Yet they display a remarkable resiliency and ability to bounce back from adversity. Clock building, not time telling. To quickly grasp the difference between clock building and time telling, compare GE and Westinghouse in their early days. George Westinghouse was a brilliant product visionary and a prolific inventor who founded 59 other companies besides Westinghouse. Additionally, he had the insight that the world should favor the superior AC electrical system over Edison's DC system, which it eventually did. But compare Westinghouse to Charles Coffin, GE's first president. Coffin invented not a single product, but he sponsored an innovation of great significance, the establishment of the General Electric Research Lab, billed as America's first industrial research laboratory. George Westinghouse told the time, "Charles Coffin built a clock. Westinghouse's greatest creation was the AC power system. Coffin's greatest creation was the General Electric Company." The myth of the great idea. On August 23, 1937, two recently graduated engineers in their early 20s met to discuss the founding of a new company. They had no clear idea of what the company would make. They only knew they wanted to start a company with each other in the broadly defined field of electronic engineering. They brainstormed a wide range of initial product and market possibilities, but they had no compelling great idea that served as the founding inspiration of the fledgling company. Bill Hulett and Dave Packard started moving forward, trying anything that might get them out of the garage and pay the light bills. The company stumbled along for nearly a year before it got to its first big sale, 8 audio oscilloscopes to Walt Disney for work on the movie Fantasia. Even then, Hulett Packard continued its unfocused ways, sputtering and tinkering with a variety of products, until it got a boost from war contracts in the early 1940s. Texas Instruments, in contrast, traces its roots to a successful initial concept. TI began life in 1930 as Geophysical Service, Inc. The first oil fields and its Texas labs developed and produced instruments for such work. TI's founders formed their company to exploit a specific technological and market opportunity. TI started with a great idea. HP did not. We found that visionary companies were much less likely to begin life with a great idea than the comparison companies in our study. If you're a prospective entrepreneur with a desire to build a visionary company, we encourage you to lift from your shoulders the burden of the great idea myth. The myth of the great and charismatic leader. Many managers feel frustrated by all the books and articles on charismatic business leadership and ask the sensible question, what if this is just not my style? If you're a high-profile charismatic leader, fine. But if you're not, that's fine too. For you're in good company along with those that built companies like 3M, P&G, Sony, Boeing, HP, and Merck. If you're involved in building and managing a company, we're asking you to think less in terms of being a brilliant product visionary or seeking the personality characteristics of charismatic leadership, and to think more in terms of being an organizational visionary and building the characteristics of a visionary company. More than profit. Merck was elected to develop and give away Mectizan, a drug to cure river blindness, which infected over 1 million people in the third world. 1 million customers is a good-sized market, except that these were customers who could not afford the product. Nonetheless, the company went forward with the hope that some government agencies or other third parties would purchase and distribute the product once available. No such luck. So Merck elected to give the drug away free to all who needed it. Merck also involved itself directly in distribution efforts at its own expenses to ensure that the drug did indeed reach the millions of people at risk from the disease. Did Merck's ideals drive the Mectizan decision? Or did Merck make the decision for pragmatic reasons, good long-term business and good PR? Our answer, both. The evidence suggests that Merck would have gone ahead with the project regardless of whether it created long-term business benefits for the company. But the evidence also suggests that Merck acted on the assumption that such acts of goodwill somehow always pay off. Is there a right ideology? Is there a right core ideology for being a visionary company? We did not find any specific ideological content essential to being a visionary company. The authenticity of the ideology and the extent to which a company attains consistent alignment with it counts more than its content. A key step in building a visionary company is to articulate a core ideology. Drawing upon what we saw in the visionary companies, we've created a practical two-part definition of it. Core ideology equals core values plus purpose. Core values. They are the organization's essential and enduring tenets, not to be compromised for financial gain or short-term expediency. Purpose. It's the organizational fundamental reasons for existence beyond just making money, not to be confused with specific goals or business strategies. Preserve the core. Stimulate progress. A visionary company carefully preserves and protects its core ideology, yet all its specific manifestations must be open for change and evolution. HP's respect and concern for employees is a permanent, unchanging part of its core ideology. Serving fruit and donuts to all employees at 10 a.m. each day is an encore practice that can't change. Walmart's exceed customer expectations is a permanent, unchanging part of its core ideology. Customer greeters at the front door is a non-core practice that can change. The specific methods of preserving the core and stimulating progress that distinguished the visionary companies from the comparison companies fall into three categories. Number 1. Big Hairy Audacious Goals, BHAGs. A goal cannot be classified as a BHAG without a high level of commitment. When Boeing committed to doing the 747, they committed to build this airplane even if it takes the resources of the entire company. This turned into a full-fledged BHAG. Boeing suffered terribly in the early 1970s. During the three-year period from 1969 to 1971, they laid off 86,000 people, roughly 60% of its workforce. The big, hairy, audacious goals also require a certain level of unreasonable confidence. Therein lies one of the maddening paradoxes behind the visionary companies. The visionary companies didn't see their audacity as taunting the gods. It simply never occurred to them that they couldn't do what they set out to do. Number 2. Homegrown management. It's not the quality of leadership that most separates the visionary companies from the comparison companies. It is the continuity of quality leadership that matters, continuity that preserves the core. Across 1,700 years of combined history in the visionary companies, we found only 4 individual cases of an outsider coming directly into the role of chief executive. Both the visionary companies and the comparison companies have had excellent top management at certain points in their histories. You can think of it as a continuous self-reinforcing process, a leadership continuity loop. If you're the chief executive or board member at your company, develop processes and long-term succession planning in place to ensure a smooth transition from one generation to the next. Do not fall into the trap of thinking that the only way to progress at the top is to bring in outsiders. The key is to develop and promote insiders who are highly capable of stimulating healthy change and progress while preserving the core. Number 3. Good enough never is. The critical question asked by a visionary company is, how can we do better tomorrow than we did today? They institutionalize this question as way of life. Superb execution and performance naturally come to the visionary companies not so much as an end goal, but as the residual result of a never-ending cycle of self-stimulated improvement and investment for the future. There is no ultimate finish line in highly visionary companies. Comfort is not their objective. Merck in the 1950s embraced a strategy of consciously yielding market share as products became low-margin commodities, thus forcing itself to produce more innovations in order to grow and prosper. Motorola used an innovate-or-die mechanism similar to Merck's, with its practice of cutting off mature products lines that accounted for significant sales volume, thus forcing itself to fill the gap with new products. Motorola did this with televisions and car radios. It filled the gaps via a mechanism called technology roadmaps, a comprehensive tool for benchmarking technology progress versus competitors and anticipated market needs up to 10 years into the future. General Electric institutionalized internal discomfort with a process called workout. Groups of employees meet to discuss opportunities for improvement and make concrete proposals. Upper managers are not allowed to participate in the discussion, but must make on-the-spot decisions about the proposals in front of the whole group. They cannot run, hide, evade, or procrastinate. Indeed, the discipline of self-improvement stands out as one of the clearest differences between the visionary and comparison companies. Taking into account mechanisms of discomfort and long-term investments for the future, we found that the visionary companies have driven themselves harder for self-improvement in 16 out of 18 cases. Yin and Yang. We always use the yin-yang symbol for Chinese dualistic philosophy to refer to visionary companies. We're not talking about balance here. Balance implies going to the midpoint. A visionary company doesn't want to blend yin and yang into a gray, indistinguishable circle that is neither highly yin or highly yang. It aims to be distinctly yin and distinctly yang, both in the same time, all the time.